101 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Lugie evening. Another hour to go here on After Hours before Gordon Damer takes over. Then we are, I'm always bad at this, but I'm going to say 17 hours. That's going to be my quick math there. 17 hours away from Game 4, Madison Square Garden. No President Trump for Game 4, but the celebrities will be out in full force. I believe they are bringing back the watch party outside Madison Square Garden. And my PSA is, if you are going to these watch parties, behave. Just, you can be passionate. You can be doing these things that make you go viral. And you can do all the stuff that is fun about this run. But some of the things we've been seeing out there on social media and the videos is not what you want to represent as far as Knicks fans, as far as the city, as far as humans. It's just, it's bad behavior, and it ruins it for everybody else, especially with some of the behavior towards Spurs fans. This is not Philadelphia, where they have no just common decency for anything down there. Let's be better than that, because we are better than that. This is the greatest city in the world. Let's act like it, because this is as great a run as you'll ever see, and it's something we've all been waiting for. For some of us, like me, a lifetime. For many out there that were fortunate enough to see them win championships, this is 53 years. If you're a little bit younger, you're not. It's a lifetime, but it's not as long as, say, me, where I'm 40. But still, generations of Knicks fans have been waiting for this, and let's enjoy it, because it's only going to intensify as far as the celebrations going forward. Enjoy it. Be passionate. Rep your city, rep your team, but be respectful of other fans and just be respectful of people. Because I know it's not everybody, not even close, but, you know, these watch parties could get shut down, they could be canceled, and then a couple people ruin it for everybody. And you certainly wouldn't want to jeopardize any type of parade or anything like that. It's just, that parade is going to be so special. And the last thing you want is, oh, maybe we have to limit the amount of people. Come on. There is always a way to party and celebrate, but to also do it respectfully. And that's what my hope is. I'm skeptical in some ways, because you just can't change people sometimes, and people are going to act the way they act, and you're fueled by whatever. But It's not a good look. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Nick is in Eastchester. What's up, Nick?
Tommy, how you doing?
Great, bro. What's going on?
So, I called you I've been listening a long time. Always respected the positive Tommy.
Thank you.
We share the same teams except football. I'm a Jets fan, but I called you the night that they announced that, you know, Mitch's pinky was broken, and you and I were on the same page. No biggie. Mm-hmm. It is no biggie. He's doing fine. I'm looking for Dr. Tommy tonight,
okay.
Therapist Tommy, because
I'm
not going to say like the anxiety that I felt today is just, sometimes I forget that the series is at 2-1 in our favor, and it's like, I've never seen, I'm 25 years old, 26 this summer. I've never seen a championship, and I'm not going to talk about distractions. I don't want to talk about, unfortunately how people have been acting, or, the calls. I'm on the same page as you. Like, what are we going to do about it? Like, what's the course of action? Nothing. You go out there, you play to win. So I want to talk about the game tomorrow. Like, what do you think really, like, the true keys to victory are, like, your true series prediction right now, and just talk to me a bit, because I need to be talked through this.
Absolutely. And I think the reason you're feeling the way you're feeling right now, Nick, is because it's been so long that you have felt this way. You have to go back to early on in that Atlanta series, where it was actually a series. The sweeps against Philly and Cleveland were so easy and so relaxing and so dominant and one-sided that you're not used to what series are in the playoffs, and that is that back and forth, that anxiety, that agita. You win a game, you're on top of the mountain. You lose a game, you think the season and series is over. And this is one of those things where Knicks fans like us, we haven't felt this in months. So it's going to be worse than normal because we're not used to it. So that's number one. Number two,
yeah,
I thought the series would go five. I still think it's going to go five. The key for me here is everything they did in that winning streak, they just have to duplicate here in game four. They got away from a lot of that in game three, starting with Karl Anthony Towns, not getting him the basketball enough. And when you don't do that, you get a Karl Anthony Towns in the fourth quarter where he's not engaged. Now, Bridges, I think it had more to do with the two fouls early. He had to go to the bench, and then you just lost him for the game. Nothing you could really do about that. That's more on Mikal, but hopefully he stays out of foul trouble. I think the strategy there is to get him the rock early. Bridges, couple of corner threes. Let's see a few go through the net and let him see it. And I think you get that Bridges where he'll be more offensively aggressive. Same thing with Kat. I think you overcorrect, get him the ball a lot. Brunson's got to take the back seat here, which I think he will. He's shown that, hey, he tried to play maybe a little hero ball last night. He'll humble himself here. He'll get his teammates involved. Everybody's got to be touching it, Nick. Everybody's got to be involved in the flow of the offense. And when they do that, I brought it up earlier. They kind of look like the Warrior Dynasty teams where it's beautiful basketball and the passing and everything. The Spurs, I think, had a lot to do with throwing them off their game, but the Spurs are going to try to do that again, and what the Knicks have to do to get around that is not fall into that and just play their game. Now, as far as defensively, this one's a little bit trickier because I do think the Spurs are going to try to get Wemby down in the blocks again, and I don't know what to do there. That's a tough one, but you're going to have to try to just out-offensive them and score the basketball and hit your shots, and if they do that and execute down the stretch, I think the Knicks will come out victorious.
Because I think if this goes 3-1, I mean, it's never wraps until it's wraps,
yeah.
But at 3-1, I really think that this team has the mindset.
Yes.
I think Brunson, the mindset, like, I know Brunson really hasn't played up to his potential in this series.
He is not.
But, you know, I think Brunson's impact goes far, because he's a captain, goes far beyond his, you know, impact on the court. His mindset sets the tone for everyone. And to me, you know, he sounds a lot like Kobe Bryant in 09, 010. And you know what? That famous meme, or I don't even know if you call it a meme, but, you know, when Kobe's like, job not finished, that was in the 2009 finals after they took a 2-0 lead. And, you know, they lost that third game to Orlando. And then they came back and they won it in five. I find myself comparing a lot of the, you know, win the first two, lose the second two, how many times you win the series. I look at, you know, 1993. I think that's the most famous comparison I've heard the last, you know, 48 hours, 24 hours.
Yep.
But, you know, I go through these swings. You know, this is why I had to call you. I go through these swings where I'm like worried. And then, you know, earlier tonight, I was like, you know what? They're going to win. Let's do this. And I get confident, but, you know, I get less worried around game time. But, man, if there is a team that has put forward, like how can I not trust this team is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
like,
you know, you said it the best. You said it the best. And I think the waiting here, it's the unknown. It's sort of the twisting in the wind, and that's where the anxiety builds. But once they step foot on a basketball court and they remind you, and you said it amazingly there, they've earned, and I brought this up last night, they've earned our trust. That's why I'm not panicking. You know, they showed they were human. They showed they could lose a basketball game. But what they did show in that 13-game winning streak is how great they are, how mentally tough they are. And another thing, too, Nick, last night, and I brought this up a bunch as well after the game, they fought. They didn't have their A-plus game. They reverted back to some bad habits. But they fought down the stretch. They still hit a bunch of shots there where San Antonio had to continue to execute. Castle had to hit that bailout three. Fox had to hit that jumper to go up five. Castle had to hit two big free throws. The Knicks kept going after it. They didn't quit late in the game and just say, all right, you know what, chalk it up, we'll come back in game four. They fight, they fight, they fight, they fight, and the Spurs are going to have to continue to match that fight because the Knicks are not going to lay down their swords at any point in this series or at any point in these games, and their resolve and their fight is just through the roof, and I think it says a lot about not only their captain, who's a big part of that, but also this unity and experience they have. I'll leave you with this too, Nick. There's probably a small percentage, and this is human nature, where maybe Brunson was like, you know what, game three, all the celebrities, all the fans, all the hoopla, let me try to put the nail in the coffin here, win the MVP, we sweep them, we have the parade, and you know what I mean? And I think now going into game four, it'll be business as usual, and they'll get back to Knick basketball with everybody sharing it.
Thanks, Tommy. Yeah, less celebrities, less pressure, no president, you know, like it was like a red carpet, you know, and one last thing I'll say is, you know, I really just think that now is when we figure out, like, this is the first game they lost since the first round, right? So now is really when we figure out how do you bounce back and, you know, you go up 3-1 and this thing is wrapped.
Yeah, it's a great point, Nick, and I appreciate the phone call. So it was a really good one. I had brought this up maybe a week ago, but recently, and I said, I want to see how this team responds when they, and I hope they don't lose one. And I felt like after game one, game two, they weren't going to lose one, but they did. I wanted to see how they responded to that first loss, because when you have that type of momentum, when you're riding that type of wave, everything comes easier. The basket looks bigger. You think you're going to hit every single shot. You think you're going to come back in every single game because you feel invincible. But when you get a little bit of a dent in your armor and you take a loss, and couple that with it's in your building, it's when you're up 2-0, and if you win game three, it's a 48-hour celebration where the Knicks sweep and win a championship and the parade is on Friday and it's just euphoria. How would this team respond to a loss? How would they respond to this streak ending? Because now that tidal wave that they were riding has crashed down. And it's about rolling the sleeves up. It's about a series now. It's about getting on a plane on Friday or whenever they head out to San Antonio. And now it's not about history and this run and the 2017 Warriors and the 99 Spurs. And all of that is in the rearview mirror. What's in front of them is a game four in their building with an opportunity to take a 3-1 lead, a commanding 3-1 lead, where I've been planning it for a while now anyway, but I think the majority of Knicks fans will join me in the planning of the parade because it's all but a wrap when it's 3-1. And like I said, I think the Knicks, in some ways, whether they were off their game because of the Spurs, a little bit tight, a little bit of hero ball, maybe, hey, win this game, I'm the MVP. I think a lot of that kind of, plus they didn't play well, and the Spurs played good. Great, really. It aided and impacted and added up to be why they lost. I don't think you're getting that in game four. I think you're getting a refocused team here, and they will bounce back in a big-time way. The Spurs will bring their A-game because now they're feeling confident. But I think the Knicks will be up for the task. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. John is in Long Island. What's up, John?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
So I think not a lot of people are talking about this time in the game, but we had momentum going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And we were in the middle of the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and Dylan Harper walked onto the floor.
Yeah.
As the sixth man.
Yep. They were trying to get the sub
and they
in there.
Stopped play.
Yep, correct.
Didn't reset shot clock. We had 4 seconds left to put up a shot, and like I feel like we had momentum at that time in the game. And
yeah, that should have been at bare minimum a delay a game on the Spurs, bare minimum. And I appreciate the call, bud. And you're right; it hasn't been talked about a ton because the Wemby foul, or what should have been a foul, it is not a flagrant. The league even retroactively is not making a flagrant, but they did admit it should be a foul. That's getting all the attention. But that play there, yeah, sure, bare minimum, it should have been a delay a game. It's gamesmanship from the Spurs. I don't fault them for doing it or trying. It ended up working or not hurting them. But it should have been a delay game. The officiating has not been great. It was worse in game two, but the Knicks won that game, so there's no reason to complain about it when you win. Certainly not from the coach, which Brown did after game three, which I commend him for. That's what you're supposed to do. Coach is supposed to complain and publicly shame the refs, so you hope to get the whistle. Yours truly, I know it's kind of the culture sometimes as a sports fan, as a basketball fan, it's the discourse, it's just, hey, the refs are out against us, the league wants the Spurs to win, or bare minimum, they want the series to go 6 or 7. I don't get into that nonsense. I don't get into the, if you do, that's you, but I don't. The tinfoil hat, I don't do that. I look at it like this. The Spurs were the more aggressive team. That's why they got to the free throw line more. The Knicks, as far as their star players, as far as the guys that were being aggressive, I should say, in game three, you know, OG got there 9 times, Brunson got there 8 times, Wemby only got there 9 times. So it was more about the Spurs being the aggressor, going to the basket, not having any fear, and it drew more contact. Where the Knicks, I mean, Cat, I think, only went 3 times to the line. He was not engaged in the final quarter. the team was shooting way too many jump shots and bad ones at that rate, and that's why they weren't getting the line. If the Knicks are more of an aggressor here, they'll get to the line more. Plus the fact that their coach publicly shamed the officials. But I don't think the league, the refs, I don't think anything crooked's going on. I don't think any conspiracy theories are going on. I don't think it's, oh, they want the Spurs to win so badly. If there was a conspiracy theory in the NBA, like let's just be as fair as humanly possible here. If there was a conspiracy theory out there, then the league would have the Knicks make the finals every year and win a game seven. Yet here we are 53 years without a championship and 27 years without the team being in the finals. Part of why the officials called so many fouls is because the Knicks committed those fouls. Now, the subbing thing that we talked about, yes, absolutely. That was a mistake on the officials' part. The Wemby hit on Brunson, yes, that should have been a foul flagrant, the whole thing. Absolutely. But as far as the discrepancy, that has more to do with the Spurs' mentality and the way they played that game and the way the Knicks were just more shooting jump shots and not being aggressive. And it's certainly, when it comes to the officiating, it's not the reason the Knicks lost. It actually has nothing to do with why they lost. Everything to do with why the Knicks lost is how they played. Sloppy with the basketball, too much Brunson, too many shots from JB, not enough Karl Anthony Towns. You had a Mikal Bridges who got early fouls and then was not involved in the game at all, which is on him, not on anybody else, not any officiating. You get to pick up a couple of early fouls. It is what it is. You got to be more engaged when you get back on the court and more aggressive and more focused, and he was not. And we got the bad Bridges again, which I thought we had moved on from, but apparently not. Where Cat, it's more of, hey, you have to get him the ball. You have to get him involved, top of the key, and I think you'll get that aggression out of him. Like he was the MVP of the series the first two games. Think about this. You are up 2-0 at home in a game three. The MVP of the series is Karl Anthony Towns. You have a chance to win the series in game three. It's over. You go up 3-0, it is over. It's a wrap. Done. It's a sweep. Parade on Friday. You have all that going for you, and you don't get that guy the basketball? That's on the Knicks. That's on Brunson. That's on the coaching. It just is. And you missed out on an opportunity. All good, no biggie, Knicks in five, but you had an opportunity there for the sweep, for the sports kill, and the Knicks did not take advantage of it because they reverted back to mistakes that they have made in the past. Let's go to Steve on Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hi. I have a lot to say. I just want to say that first of all, the Spurs, there's a lot of officiating calls. Wemby pushed Brunson like a bully. Stephon Castle tackled Jalen Brunson also. Spurs played more desperation. They were pressing on full court every time, the Knicks. Even still, the Knicks only lost by four, but correct. I think the Spurs just wanted it more. Yeah. I think the Spurs just wanted more.
It was a must-win for them. They had to win that game. If the Spurs don't win that game, the series is over. The Knicks can lose that game and easily win this series in five or six or even seven. I think it'll be five. But, yeah, the Spurs had to have that game. If they didn't, the series and their season would be over.
I think Mikal Bridges, he just doesn't know how to play either. He just runs in, chucks a shot. Didn't play well. I think they should play Jordan Clarkson much more than I think Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, I think that's an overreaction on your part to the way Clarkson played, and he had a good game. Bridges has been awesome in that 13-game winning streak. He is a big part of this team, especially defensively. And when he is scoring 15, 18 points, this team is unstoppable. I would not limit his minutes. I think it was just an off night. Now, if he has another bad game, then we could start to have this conversation. But I'm not going to pull the plug on him after one bad game.
I think they should go through Cat first.
Yes.
JB, and then they should go through OG and Nobi, and then they'll win a game. And Landry Shamet could shoot a couple of threes here. That's all they need. They can win the game. They're definitely better than the Spurs, though.
Yeah, yeah. You said a lot there, but the way I look at it is Shamet's going to have a better shooting night. You do need to run the offense through Karl Anthony Towns. Ananobi, I'm not worried about at all in terms of he's always going to be engaged defensively and offensively. Same thing with Josh Hart. If he doesn't have to put up 15 points, that's gravy. Like the shooting game he had in game three, awesome. If he has that in game four, great. But Josh Hart could have 3 points and the Knicks could win by 20 because Josh Hart's going to get you 16 rebounds. He's going to have 5 steals. He's going to disrupt the game in terms of loose balls and second chances and intensity. So he doesn't have to be necessarily engaged in the flow of the offense per se, because he could score 4 or 5 points and dominate the game because of everything he does, hard hat-wise, dirty work-wise. That's just why Josh Hart is who he is in terms of being a fan favorite and a big part of this roster. But guys like Bridges and Cat, you got to keep them going. You got to keep them in the flow of the offense. The best way to get revenge on Wemby, the best way to get revenge on the Spurs is to beat them. Not to retaliate, not to rough them up, not to play bully ball. Let him do it. Let him bully Brunson around. Let him try to throw his weight around. The best way to retaliate against Wemby and the Spurs is to beat him. Beat him in Game 4 and then beat him in their own building to win a championship. Don't allow this series to unravel where you're worried about retaliation, and then there's retaliation for the retaliation, and then a fight breaks out. There's too much on the line to start getting involved in that type of nonsense. 2 wins away from the first championship for the Knicks in 53 years. That's what it's all about. Don't lose sight of that. And I don't think the Knicks will. But this idea of, well, you got to retaliate. The best way to retaliate is to beat them. And I expect the Knicks to do that over the next 2 games and win this series in 5. I don't see a receipt coming in as far as a physical play or putting in one of the bench guys that don't see a lot of minutes and have them go rough up Wemby. I don't think that's what the course of action is going to be. But I do think the best way to serve revenge and retaliation is by beating Wemby, by shutting him up, by shutting everybody up that's rooting for the Spurs, whether it's, you know, the national media, whatever the case may be, or the league that wants to crown the Spurs and Wemby. They're going to have to wait because it's the next year. And the best way to retaliate is to win and win this series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. Loogie in the late night. Let's go to Jonathan in Massachusetts. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. Good to talk to you again, as always.
Of course.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, in addition to all the points you've made, I genuinely, as we've discussed, not only is it, quote unquote, a bad look, it's a losing strategy. If there's any truth whatsoever, whether it's magic or whether it's just psychological or energy or momentum, all that, yeah, whether it's a distraction or it's true, because negativity has many forms. Not just booing, that's an immature form, but like you said, ajna. Like, that was what I noticed in Boston. There wasn't as much booing of the own team there, but what there was in a huge degree, and something you saw on that show Cheers, was they would expect to lose.
Yeah, look, I will say this, Jonathan, though. I think the Knick fan, to a man and woman, is extremely positive right now. I think you'll see
right
that
now
at Madison Square Garden. Well, you're saying off a loss, but you know what, though? It is human nature, series tied up.
It's human nature,
but I'll be here to steer everybody down the right path.
Like,
because
I wanted to make another point
about
this.
Yeah, I'll let you make another point, but I'm just saying
that,
Jonathan, I can make, but Jonathan, here's the thing, though. You make a point.
I don't want to talk over
you. No, that's what I mean. You make a point, I make a point, you make a point,
I get a little talky myself.
Oh, good here. It's just a conversation more than you talk, and then we forget what you said 4 minutes earlier.
You're right, I go on tangent.
If it goes 2-2, I still think the Knicks are going to have a big advantage here, in the sense that home court doesn't mean anything in the NBA like it used to. So I know fans are going to be panicking, but the bottom line is this. We've seen it over the last couple of years, home court, including for the Knicks. And look at the series.
Yeah.
The home team wouldn't have won a game yet. So it's not time for panic, even if the series is 2-2.
It's it made me think, like, it actually is one of those weird cases where the Knicks fans are more effective on the road, because if you're traveling to San Antonio, you're a positive fan. You're 100% there.
Great point.
And you're not and you're not a celebrity.
Yeah.
And it's not about your as an individual. Now my point is about Japanese. There's incredible documentaries on YouTube about Japanese fan culture. They take being a fan very seriously. It's like it's a very Japanese thing, and it's never about you. It's about, we're all going to cheer you up. You know, we're going to will you to victory. And it's actually a shameful thing to boo your own team.
Yeah, but Jonathan, I don't think we have to be Japan.
Yeah,
I don't think you're going to get. But I think we're at a stage here where there's not going to be booing. There'll be silence if the Knicks don't play well, but I don't think there'll be booing. I think the positivity and the positivity train is there, and it will be there throughout the evening. There will certainly be panic if the Spurs win, but I will be the first voice you hear on this radio station because I'm going to be on and programming alert. Normally, I'm on at 7 o'clock if the Yankees play a day game or are off. They do have a day game later on today, but I will be on not at 7 p.m. I will be on at 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. So first voice on the air as soon as the game wraps up. I'll even be on a little before that, but as soon as the game ends, your calls. I'll be on YouTube as well. Full takes and reaction and conversations and all of that. If, and I don't think they will lose, but if they lose, I know what the reaction is going to be from the fans because it's two in a row. We had this series. Loogie's talking parade. Craig's talking parade. All this stuff. I know what's coming. Home court doesn't mean anything. The Knicks have already won two games in San Antonio. So if they got to roll up their sleeves, go to game five in San Antonio and win a basketball game, I am supremely confident that they can do that. Same thing with a game seven. Home court doesn't mean what it used to. If Halliburton is healthy, Indiana goes to OKC in a game seven and wins a championship last year. The Spurs just beat OKC in a game seven in their building. The Knicks lost a couple years ago to Indiana in their building in a game seven. They lost two games last year to start the Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks did, in their building to Indiana. Philly beat Boston in a game seven in Boston this year. On and on and on and on. Those are a couple examples. This is not the 90s where home court means everything, or the 80s where home court meant everything. It means nothing at this point. Nothing. Yeah, the Spurs would have the momentum, but they're not going to have an advantage in their building. They're just not. And maybe the Knicks getting away from Madison Square Garden is the best thing for them. But that's if they lose. That's what you're going to hear from me. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Another half hour to go. Plenty of time to take your calls. If you want to join the conversation right now, it's 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. Taking you up till 2 o'clock. Gordon Damer comes your way at that time. We'll get back to your calls right after this. 1:35 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A couple things I want to hit on here before we get out of here. No flagrant upgrade on the uncalled foul for Wemby. A league spokesperson. This is the Shams on ESPN. Wemby will stay at two flagrant points in the postseason. Look, they are clearly protecting this guy. This is their golden child. This is their golden goose. This is their face of the league for the next 10 or 15 years. Wemby has not exactly always conducted himself in terms of not meeting the media after a loss. That was not right. And I don't think he was even penalized for that. Not getting a flagrant here. He should have. But that's the way the league, and that's the way they're going to go about things. There's nothing that I or you or anyone else can do about that. The Knicks have to rise above that. They have to play their game, and they have to get back to the brand of basketball that got them here and won 13 straight games, including two against Wemby in San Antonio. And I know the fans and the media get caught up in this stuff. The players should not get caught up in it. It's one thing for everybody to be tweeting about it so they can get 3 million views on it because all this stuff is just, it's nonsense. It's just stupid. But unfortunately, it's part of the basketball experience. I can't stand it. Anything with officiating or fouls, it just takes away from the basketball game. And it becomes all we discuss and talk about. Or anybody wants to talk about conspiracy theories, and it's rigged and it's scripted. And hi, this is Adam Silver. Officials, please call fouls so that the Spurs can win the series, or we can extend it at the least to 6 or 7 because the TV ratings are through the roof. Come on, there's nothing to do with it. I don't think there's any favor here towards one side or the other as far as calling fouls. I do think that they are trying to protect Wemby when it comes to this stuff, with flagrants and things of that nature. But that's in any walk of entertainment or life. When you are the guy and the league wants him to be that guy, the guy, you're going to turn a blind eye to that, to this type of behavior. It's not fair, but it is what it is. So that's number one. Number two, non-Knicks related. Not the way you want to start a homestand, but all good. Mets got to get back to work, bounce back. Couple big games here against the Cardinals. Then they'll get the Braves for the first time this year. Mets have obviously been playing good baseball as of late, certainly since May 1st. They're over 500. They're now 6-4 in their last 10. Keep chipping away. Keep playing good baseball. Don't allow anything to snowball. Don't allow anything to get out of control. Bounce back. Tie this series up. And then have a successful homestand. You know, June's a big month. It's a tough schedule. It's a rubber meets the road type of month. You have a good one. And by the way, playing right around 500, a little over 500 with this schedule, I would deem that as a positive. It would keep the Mets in really good shape, all things considered, heading into July, heading into the 4th of July, heading into the All-Star break. So that's where I'm at with them. And I know they've kind of taken a little bit of a back seat here, as all the sports around here has, Yankees included, with the Knicks being on this generational run and now obviously being two games away from a championship. But it won't be long till, hey, Knicks win a championship, parade happens, dust settles, all the celebrating, all the partying, all the excitement, all the just emotion that's going to spill out when this finally happens for the Knicks for the first time in 53 years. And all of us as fans who've waited a lifetime for some, 53 years for others. But once that's all over with, baseball once again gets to be center stage, because you're still a little bit away from training camp and the football season or preseason or training camp starting. So baseball will be back on center stage. And the microscope will be back on both teams, but in particular the Mets, because of the expectations, the slow start they had in April. So this is their opportunity, a little bit under the radar, to continue playing over 500 baseball against this tough schedule in June and put themselves in a situation where they're in striking distance starting July, and they keep chipping away. That means you would have had a good May, a good June. You're getting Lindor back soon, it sounds like, by all accounts. He'll be back soon, which will be a boost for the offense and a boost for the team in general. And then you go to work in July. Now, as far as the hockey, this has been an insane series. This is a Stanley Cup for the ages. This is going seven. Carolina tied the series up tonight. It's 4-4. That series is going seven. It'll probably be a triple overtime game. In game three, it looked like Vegas was going to roll to a victory. Carolina scored three goals in 49 seconds, I think it was, which is insanity. And this series has been high scoring. It's been awesome. It's been fun. Obviously, a little bit of local ties here with Torts being the coach of Vegas. So there's interest as far as us from a New York standpoint, but even from just a sports fan, even if you're not a big hockey fan, and this is what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so special, because you could have series like this where you just throw everything out the window. There's no rhyme or reason for anything that's going on the ice right now. It's a coin flip. It's anybody's game. Wouldn't stun me if Vegas won. Wouldn't stun me if Carolina wins. But it's going to go down, I think, as an all-time Stanley Cup final. It has been amazing. And hopefully, and I believe it will be, the only seven-game series between the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. And the final one here before we get back to your calls. We are a mere, what are we now, at Wednesday? So a day away from the World Cup starting, Team USA Friday night, first match out in Los Angeles. City of Angels, Tinseltown. On Thursday, I will give my predictions, who I think is going to win the World Cup, how far do I think Team USA is going to go. So you'll get Patriotic Tommy, you'll get World Cup Tommy. I know it's going to be another thing, major topic, obviously, here in North America. It's in the United States, it's in Mexico, it's in Canada. The final will be here at MetLife. There's going to be a lot of excitement surrounding that tournament. It's one of the great tournaments in sports. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in terms of day in and day out, but when it comes to the World Cup and its history and watching it, I'm very engaged in it. I do love the World Cup, so I'll be talking about it a bunch. But on Thursday, I'll we'll obviously be doing a ton of Knicks, but I will mix in a little bit of World Cup preview. And then same thing, once this Knick run is over, baseball center stage, World Cup will be center stage. A lot of exciting things will be going on here as we inch closer and closer to the 4th of July. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Bob in Keyport on the Fan. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
What's happening?
Couple of things for you. First of all, you know, you've been so caught up in these finals. It's great, but I didn't call you in a couple of days to update you on the analytical finals.
Yes.
So yes. The Thunder actually won out last night in points, but Cleveland won analytically, so they take the series.
So that the series is over. The Cavs are your analytical champions. This was airing on ESPN, I think, 13, so at 3 in the morning.
That's correct.
And I got to be honest with you. I have been caught up and wrapped up in my Knicks and in the finals. I forgot to tune into this. I didn't even know where the series was at, and the audience didn't either, Bob. So we all appreciate the update. Kenny Atkinson, the Cleveland Cavs, they are your analytical champions of the NBA. So congratulations. You can say this, that Cleveland's a city of losers.
Kenny Atkinson, actually, he won finals MVP.
As he should, because when it comes to analytics, nobody is more on top of the analytics than Kenny. And a town that is known for its losing in Cleveland, they are now winners when it comes to analytics.
And one more thing. The guys who went last night beat up that Spurs fan. Obviously shouldn't have done it, but if it was done on the floor of MSG, you think they would have got a flagrant or just nothing called at all?
Yeah, if Wemby was involved in it, you know, there would have been a flagrant. I see what you did there. And the reason why I don't want to make a joke of it, I don't want to make light of it, is because we're talking about something that I just don't agree with on any level. And Knicks fans, New Yorkers, humans, they need to be better than this type of behavior. And I understand that there's so much on the line and there's so much passion, there's so much energy and there's so much intensity and there's so much that's going into this run and there's so much on the line. And I also sometimes question if these are actually Knicks fans or these are just people that are aura farming or just want to be involved in a moment in the scene, because New York City is a bandwagon type of situation. Because I do know this, I took the Long Island Railroad all year and I didn't see a lot of Knick jerseys on it. Now all of a sudden I see a million of them when I'm on it. So I'm not suggesting that you're jumping on a bandwagon, but some people just want to be in the mix. Nobody knows that more than me. I like a scene, that's for sure. But not this type of scene. People got to be better. Because when you put that Knick uniform on, you are representing an entire fan base. You're going to make the fan base look bad. And just quite frankly, how about to your fellow man or fellow woman or fellow child? Like, show some respect. Okay, we don't see eye to eye in fandom, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go after you or start a fight or anything like that. That's ridiculous. There's no place for that in sports or life. I don't know what was said or what caused anything. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter because it should never escalate to those things. And God forbid it escalates to a level where somebody really... You never want to see that over sports or over anything. So, if you're involved... And it could ruin watch parties or ruin somebody's life. You're going to jail. There's so many different domino effects to stuff like that. And all somebody's doing is trying to represent their team. So, cut that stuff out. There's no place for it anywhere. And it takes away from people that want to just enjoy this. And it could lead to cancellation of watch parties. I don't think it has, but it could. And that ruins it for a lot of people because these watch parties are awesome. This moment is awesome. So let's enjoy it, but let's enjoy it responsibly and respectfully. You could still have a ton of fun. You could still go viral on TikTok. You could still do all the stuff that happens outside Madison Square Garden or the streets of New York City when the Knicks are going on these runs and winning these games that just blows up the internet. You could do all that stuff. But when you take it too far, you know, you're going to ruin it for a lot of people. And if you are getting involved in these situations, and meaning you're going to these watch parties, I don't mean if you're the people that are causing trouble, but if you're going to these watch parties, my advice to you is if you see a situation that starts to feel uncomfortable, get the heck out of there. Get out of there. It's not worth it. Don't pull your camera out. Think about this. Something bad could go down. Let me pull my camera out. could get involved in this stuff. Put the camera away and get the heck out of there. Because it's not worth anything that could go wrong there as far as, so just if you see it going south, avoid it. I don't think you should not go to this thing. I wouldn't suggest that, but I would suggest just being on, you know, high alert, and if you start to see a situation escalate, get out of there. Because this is where innocent people could, bad things could happen, and nobody wants that. That's for sure. Not when this should be a very special time for the city. Something that we've been waiting for a very long time for, and we are on center stage here. The Madison Square Garden, Knicks fans, New York City is under the microscope right now. Not only in sports, but in the world, because the Knicks are on the verge of winning a championship for the first time in 53 years. Let's not act like people from Philadelphia. Let's act like New Yorkers here. Because you know that it's only going to get more intense when it comes to the celebrating the closer and closer this gets. Knicks win tomorrow, or later today, I should say. 3-1. What's it going to be like on the streets? They win a championship on Saturday or next Tuesday. What's it going to be like on the streets? The parade. The night of the parade. It's only going to get more intense. So just be on the lookout. And if you are listening and you are misbehaving, I would just suggest to stop because there's just no place for it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The key for me in game four for the Knicks is they got to get back to running their offense through Karl-Anthony Towns. Through the first two games of this series, Karl-Anthony Towns was the MVP. He's been playing his best basketball as a Knick throughout this playoff run and really for the months leading into the playoffs. His work defensively in the first two games against Wemby was spectacular. The Knicks had an opportunity to sweep this team, and they got away from what has been so successful for them in this 13-game winning streak that is now in the rearview mirror, and that is running their offense through Karl-Anthony Towns. There was too much Brunson dribbling, too much last minute in the or last couple seconds in the shot clock, bailout, let me get the ball to Shamet. Now he's got to shoot a three off balance. That's not the Knicks that won 13 straight games. The ball movement and everybody touching the ball needs to be there. The continuity, the connectiveness. It was not there. It was non-existent. And that's why you had a poor shooting night, because you weren't getting the good looks. You were getting late in the shot clock bailout looks because it was too much of Brunson. You got to run this offense through Cat. He was on his way to winning the MVP. If the Knicks get back to doing what they're doing or were doing in that winning streak, and certainly through the first two games of the series, Cat will win the MVP. But Cat's got to be the guy. The offense has to flow through him. Too many turnovers from Brunson. Not enough ball movement. Bad shots late in the clock. Bailout situations. That's not the recipe for success. Let Brunson do his thing at the end of the game. Be Captain Clutch. But this offense has got to flow through Cat, because guys like Cat and even Bridges, they will fall out of the game flow-wise mentally and disengage. And that's what you saw, not only from Bridges with the early fouls, but also from Karl-Anthony Towns. That's why he wasn't aggressive in the fourth quarter, because the offense wasn't going through him. They need to get back to that. They need to overcorrect that. Bridges, I think, will get a couple of early looks from the corner, three-pointers, let it go through the net. You'll get the 15, 18 points from him. But most importantly, Karl-Anthony Towns. Early, often, get to the rim. You'll start to see more fouls called because Karl-Anthony Towns is the aggressor and the guy that is orchestrating this offense. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And let's just put this to bed. The Knicks didn't lose Game 3 because of officiating. The Knicks lost Game 3 because they didn't play well. Too much Brunson dribbling, too many shots from Brunson, not enough ball movement, didn't run the offense through Cat, a bad shooting night, Shamet was off his game, guy was sensational in this run, and he just had an off night. Most of it not his fault. He caught a couple of passes there where he's not in rhythm, and that had to do with the fact that there was not a lot of continuity, not a lot of cohesion in the offense. But the Knicks did not play well. Now, they still only lost by four, which I think says a lot about their fight, and you know this team has a ton of it. But they didn't lose because of the officiating. The Spurs were the more aggressive team. That's why they got to the line more. The guys that were aggressive on the Knicks, I mean, Anunoby got to the line 9 times. Brunson got to the line 8 times. So this nonsense about the officiating, it's got to stop. Because that's not why they lost. I know it's the discourse. I know it'll get you social media likes if you talk about it. I know everybody wants to just, it's always if they honk the horn in traffic. That's what you're doing. Oh, I'm mad that I'm sitting in traffic, so I'm going to honk the horn. We lost the basketball game, so let me get on the officiating. Because it's low-hanging fruit or easy to do. But it's not the reason the Knicks lost this game. The Knicks did not play the brand of basketball that we were accustomed to seeing in that 13-game winning streak. That's why they lost. They need to go back to what was working. And I believe they will. But make no mistake, let's put it to bed. The Knicks did not lose Game 3 because of officiating. And there's no conspiracy theory. There's no tinfoil hat here that the league wants the Spurs to win or the series wants to go later. That's all BS too. The Knicks lost because they didn't play well. Not because of officiating. Now, quick programming note before we get out of here. I will be on tomorrow night. Or I keep saying tomorrow night. You know the deal. Later on tonight. It could be tomorrow night for you if you haven't gone to bed yet. I will be on 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Normally it's 7 p.m. because the Yankees are playing a day game. But because of the Knicks being on and the game going late, obviously starting at 8:40, I'll be the first voice on the air once the game ends. So 10 p.m., 2 a.m. later on tonight. I'll also be on YouTube about 20 minutes after the game ends. So check me out on WFAN, Odyssey app, and or YouTube. That'll be 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. All your reaction, calls, takes, opinions, we'll have it all. And I feel confident that it will be after a Knicks victory, up 3-1 in the series, one more to go for the first championship in 53 years. That'll do it for me. My thanks to the callers. My thanks to the listeners. Thanks to Rosenberg. Thanks to Fleegs. Gordon Damer comes your way next. We'll talk to you later on this evening at 10 o'clock here on The Fan.
Sports Radio 101.9.